Greetings, everyone. This is Stephen Green, and I want to welcome you to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are restoring original Christianity for today. So what are you doing today with the pandemic, with the fears that are going on throughout the world? Where are you in your life?
Italy's government is putting Milan and several regions nearby into lockdown in a bid to contain the outbreak. Starting today, nobody can enter or exit those areas. The Pope canceled all public appearances going forward and will instead stream services on the internet. Also today, the leader of Italy's Democratic Party confirmed he has COVID-19 via Facebook. There has been a big jump in cases in Italy, which continues to record the highest deaths per day in the world. Italy's Civil Protection Agency confirms another 36 people died in just 24 hours, and another 1,000 people were infected.
Are you rushing to the store? Are you looking at your children and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do if they get sick? Are you looking at your husband or your wife who is sick and fearing that they may die? Where are you emotionally in this world? Well, those of us that live in this world that do not have a fear have a strength and a power that comes from outside of this world. As we live in this world, we live among a way of evil, a way of Satan. As we live in this world without direction, we have one place to turn. We have one place to look for that strength and that power to overcome fear, to overcome our anxieties, our worries, our shortcomings, even our failings. Do you know where that is? Where would you look to escape all of this? If you're thinking of God, then you're thinking in the right direction. You know, God gave us His Son to be sacrificed for us because we are imperfect, because we are sinful, because we are rebellious, and because of all these things that we do in this life, in our failings, we have given ourselves over to sin and over to Satan, but He gave His Son that we might be rescued from all that. And by that sacrifice, we have promises from God that transcend death. There is nothing in this physical world that should bring fear upon us if we know what God has promised for us, because He gave His Son, His very Son, to bring us those promises, and they are not in vain. He will finish His work. He will finish His plan, and it includes you. It includes me. It includes all of us. So as we look at this world, and though we may live in it, and we may be exposed to all of the fear-mongering and the panic, we do not have to be a part of it, because our strength comes from above. And even though we ourselves may be afflicted with physical things, these things will not last, because there is a greater power than the physical. It is something spiritual. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ spoke and the universe was created. That was a physical work that He did, a physical work. And it only required but a word from God to create everything that is. Do you think that there's something or anything in this physical world that is greater than God's power? It says in John, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son. If He loves a world enough for Jesus Christ to sacrifice Himself, do you think that He would not have given any thought whatsoever to your life, to my life, to the way that this world is going in this terrible influence of Satan, with the fear and the panic that is going on, do you not think that there is something that he can do for you to take care of you and your husband, your wife, your children, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother? And if these things are true, if you truly think that these things are true, what are you going to do about it? Does it not make sense that you seek with all your heart and mind and soul and strength the great God in heaven? Let him hear your distresses, see your tears, know your heart, open your mind. He can do that. He's a very personable God. His calling alone is a personal calling. He's not calling the entire world to understand his plan. He's not calling every nation under the sun to be a part of this work that he has on this earth. He is not fixing the problems on this earth.
Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One of the signs of the end times is natural disasters. Look at all the natural disasters we are getting now every year. We are all witnessing things happening in this world with regards to the fulfillment of end times prophecies. Truly, we are living in the end times, and it's time to wake up before it's too late.
Many people have rejected God, but he's not doing it yet, because he has a plan. He has a plan of salvation on a spiritual plane, a plane that is beyond the physical, a plane that is beyond the pain, the suffering, the worries, the fear, the distress. And if he, the great God in heaven, can manifest the entire universe in an instant, with a word, with a thought, how much more so can he do for you and me? Jesus Christ said, "I wish that I could have gathered my children as a hen gathers her chicks to protect them, to keep them, but they would not have it so." Is that your place? Is that your thought, that you would not have it so? Do you not want God to be a part of your life? Think of what would be changed in your life. Ask yourself the question, if I sought God, if I searched for God, if I prayed to God, if I read his word, if I looked into his holy Bible, if I kept his Sabbaths and his holy days, if I beseeched in great supplications with tears after the God Most High, ask yourself, would my life be different? Or do those things seem too unreal to you? Do they seem out of reach? Does God seem too impersonal? Does God seem too far distant? Have you tried? Those that overcome difficulties in life don't do it with a singular prayer or a singular work. They don't build a house in a day. They don't establish a nation in a year. It takes time to build things, and it takes time to build a relationship with anyone. How long did you date your spouse before you married them? How long did you know them? How long did you spend time with them before you said, I truly love this person, and I will give my life to them? It's no different with us and God. It requires us to spend time with God. It requires us to get on our knees and pray. It requires us to look to Him each and every day in our spare time, in our spare moments, treating Him as if He were our bride, if He were our husband to be. We seek after Him and establish a relationship with Him before we can have His blessings, His help, His rescue, His salvation. If we do not know God at all, He does not know us. How can He know us if we don't spend time with Him? All the fears of this world are consuming your thoughts. How would your life be different if God was consuming your thoughts? How much more peace would you have? How much more assurance would you have of God's promises of protection and healing? How much more of His blessings would you receive? Do you even know what the blessings of God are? Do you know what His promises are? Have you heard Him speak by reading the Word called the Holy Bible? We could spend all day talking about the promises and blessings of God. They are something that He tells us over time as we spend time in His Word, listening to Him, and as we spend time in prayer, asking Him to help us. It is only through time that we have on this earth to grow close to God. This is but a short life, and it is full of turmoil, it is full of fears, it is full of the work of Satan. He has a spiritual work just like God has a spiritual work. Jesus Christ said, I and my Father work. We are working now. We are still working. We have been working. What is that work? Was it creating the universe? No. That was a physical work, and physical things for the great Creator God are but a word, but a thought. His work is in drawing you to Him, calling you, hoping that you will hear that call, that you will seek Him out through His Word, through prayer, sincerely and in tears, because He has called people to a greater life that is spirit. That is His real work. His work is the spiritual change in us. That is what is difficult, if anything is difficult for God, because to change the human heart, to bring the mind into submission to God, is impossible for anyone but God. But with God, we have that power. Will you seek Him to have that change begin in you? Will you seek Him to find the strength, to find the means to begin that change? This world is never going to change with Satan at its helm. Satan desires nothing but the destruction of mankind, but his work is spiritual too. He's not just after the physical destruction of this world. He wants to take away the spiritual work of God in this world. He wants to bring this world to its knees such that they reject God, because in rejecting God, he loses a child. a child that can be in his family for all eternity. And without that child, there is one less in his family. That child is precious to him. He said, God loves the whole world. While we are in our sins, he has loved us. But he will not continue this world full of sin forever. Because the great hope, the great gift of God is not this life, but the life to come. This life is when we work. This is our work. This is our work because we let God work in us. It is a physical work for us to spend the time in God's Word, in prayer, seeking after Him, and allowing Him through His Spirit to change us. We can do nothing of ourselves, as Scripture says. Through God, all things are possible. And that includes peace in this life, peace from the fears of pandemics, peace from the fears of wars, peace from the fears of financial ruin, peace from the fears of sick children, dying spouse, peace from the fears of being a servant in the government, such as a fireman or a policeman who has seen much death and much destruction. All of these things are of Satan, but God will promise to give you peace if you seek Him. If you are able to bring yourself to your knees and admit to the great God above, I need you. I want you in my life. Show me how I can make you a part of my life. I call upon you, God. I'm beseeching you. Help me. In my own personal life, there was a time that I was in the hospital and I was in great pain. And I prayed the shortest prayer I have ever prayed. But it turns out it was probably the most powerful prayer I could have ever spoken. I had just enough strength with the pain to say, God, help me. Those three words. God, help me. Yes, the miracle was less than a minute later, I was completely free of the pain, but that's not the point. The point is, you don't have to know how to pray. There is no script. There is no book that teaches you how to pray. You can't go to a conference and listen to a minister and know how to pray your heart and your mind to the great God above who knows everything that you're thinking and feeling and going through. But it takes effort to set aside the life that you have, the times spent being distracted with other things, to get on your knees and to say those words, God, help me. Maybe even through tears. Maybe even in the midst of turmoil. That's where it starts. By asking God those three words. God, help me. And that journey is a wonderful journey. If you commit yourself to God, there is a journey ahead of you that will change your life. There will be no more doubt about what God has in store for you. You will see a great and glorious plan of salvation, not just for you or me, but for the whole world. It is a great and glorious plan to bring this world out of this physical suffering into a world full of unspeakable joy and unimaginable peace. Man has been seeking peace all his life since the creation of Adam, but Satan has taken away all peace. Man will never achieve peace, even if he was perfect. Man will never achieve peace because Satan will take it away. And that is what Satan is doing right now. He is taking away peace in this world.
We're getting a look at some grim numbers, the so-called worst-case scenario of what this pandemic could become.
Closed schools, empty auditorium, canceled events, all necessary according to a CDC model made a month ago and just obtained by the New York Times of what could happen if people ignore the experts. Worst case scenario, between 160 million to 214 million Americans could be infected. The infection spreads for up to 18 months with a death toll between 200,000 and 1.7 million people.
There is such fear right now that people are panicking. Store shelves are going empty.
As human beings, we gotta come together at a time like this. So I need you guys to calm down.
Stop trying to touch me with that card again.
It's all right, love. She's not gonna touch you with the card.
Get off me!
Tensions flared at Woolworths Chullora around 7 o'clock this morning when three women became involved in a toilet paper tussle.
I just want one pack.
No, not one pack.
Is that of God? No. God is not a God of disorder. He is not a God that can be tempted. He is not a God that does evil. God is a God of love. God is love. Foundation of God's very being is love. And that's what he wants for this world. And that's what his plan is based upon. That is what he is doing with this world. He is bringing them to a point where he can bring them into the spiritual family that he has planned for ages before the time of this earth. The evil of this world is why Jesus Christ was sacrificed. But through that sacrifice, God has given us great hope and great blessings. And he has given us the means to understand that through his scripture, he has preserved his word throughout the ages that we might call upon him and seek him out. There are those who will say there is no God. There are those who reject God. There are those who are angry with God. There are those who have given up on God. God is real, and he never gives up on us. Let me ask you this. Have you given God the opportunity to change your life? Have you sought him out with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength? And just like you would never stop trying to find a way to heal a sick child, God will not give up on us, but we must seek him with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, just as if it were something we were seeking for our own family. There's no prescription for this. There's no sermon that you can hear that will tell you how to do this. There is no booklet you can read that will give you the instructions for this. This must come from your heart, from the depths of your soul, desiring that God be a part of your life. You know, in times past, this country lived in a constant state of doubt about the next year's crops, the next year's weather. Farmers had no idea whether they were going to have a successful crop that year when they planted. And this nation, in those times, looked to God for their strength and for their protection. Why have we lost that today? Is it because we've become distracted with wealth? We've become distracted with the expectation that all things will continue as they always have and never change? Is it because we have come to rely upon ourselves more than God for our daily lives? In the times of David and the ancient Israelites, they might have enough food for a week or a month, maybe even a year. But they had no grocery stores to go to. It was the work of their hands, and if the skies did not bear rain, they had no food. If an army came in to take over the country, they had no food. If the king came along and desired their property, they lost their land and their livelihood. Their lives depended upon God being in them. Don't let this world distract you with either the wealth or the fears, the sicknesses or the diseases. Don't let this world become the distraction. During World War II, on one of the islands south of Japan, the Americans invaded it. The natives had been fed the propaganda by the Japanese that the Americans would come and cause all kinds of atrocities and kill them, and the natives believed it. After the Americans invaded, they began jumping off of the cliffs and killing themselves because they couldn't face what they thought was going to be the ultimate outcome of the American soldiers. But there was a little girl there, sitting on a rock all alone. Her parents had committed suicide, and she was shaking and trembling. She was covered with dirt. Her clothes were torn, and all around her was the sounds of and violence of war, bombs exploding, guns going off. And in the midst of all this, a soldier stopped. And ignoring everything that's going on around him, all the explosions, the flame, the fire, the threat of death, he went over to the little girl, he picks her up, he comforts her, and offers her some water. That child was precious to that soldier. He saw past all the things that were going on around him and noticed the one thing that was important, that little child. And that is the way God is with us. The world has all its distractions, but they don't distract God. If you seek God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, He will reach through all that pandemonium in your life and give you the spirit of love. It is not a spirit of fear, but of kindness and goodness and gentleness, of faith and mercy, long-suffering. It is a spirit by which you will live truly, not as this world has given us in this life, not with all the distractions and the fear and the death, but a world in His family, full of joy and peace. This is Stephen Green for Church at Home, and I want to thank you for inviting me into your home. Until next time, so long, everyone.